An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean. Read by the author. Chapter 16. Gone. Zonker woke first. She stretched in her hammock, suspended in the underground home, and peered around. All the other girls still slept, Pudge and Midge in their respective hammocks, and Stinky, the twins, and Thumb in the big bed that used to belong to the Lost Boys. How could this be? She wondered. She never woke first. She rubbed her eyes. It must be something about the Neverland. She was too excited to sleep. Wriggling out of her hollow tree exit, dusty yellow light met her eyes. The sun was well up. How come Pipsqueak, that is, Piper Pan, she really was going to try to call her Pan, hadn't awakened them? Rowing at sunrise, that's what she'd said last night. Shielding her eyes from the pale glare of the sun, Zonk peered up into the tree. They'd all worked hard yesterday and played hard last night. Maybe Pipsqueak, Pan, had overslept too. She braced her hands on the lowest limb and swung her feet up. Waking Pan up ought to be fun. Pan, I mean, how cool is that? Zonk searched for the next handhold. Sure, she was a little envious. Who wouldn't want to find out they were Peter Pan's heir? But mostly she was just plain happy for Pipsqueak. The kid seemed like she deserved a break. Fitch hadn't liked her, and that usually meant a person was worth knowing. Plus, she and the other girls wouldn't be here if it weren't for Piper. They were all happy as clams to be free, even if this place was a total wasteland. And, according to Pip, cursed with a people-eating dragon. The kid wanted them to be Pan's Merry Band. Well, that might not be so bad. The hard part was getting them all to agree on anything. Zonk grimmed as she climbed higher and higher. Wait. She stopped climbing. Where was Pan's hammock? She stepped from one limb to another, all the way around the tree. Something was wrong. The hammock had hung about 10 feet in the air, and she stood at least 15 feet off the ground right now. The velour sword bag hung just above her, but the hammock was nowhere in sight. She shook her head. Maybe Piper was playing a joke on them. But that didn't seem right. The kid had been working them all to the bone. She wasn't the joking type. This must be some other kind of test. Climbing back down, Zonk's mind raced. Maybe they could play their own joke on Piper. She hurried back down into the underground home, whistling cheerfully. She jostled one girl, then the next, until they were all awake. Piper's playing a trick on us. Let's go pretend we went rowing without her. Pudge shrugged, rubbing her sleepy eyes.
Fine by me. I hate those drills. It'll give us an excuse to eat breakfast right away instead of later.
They all piled outside, panting as they lay on the ground in mock exhaustion. Midge and Pudge went for honey and spring water. The others talked loudly about how well rowing practice had gone. Half an hour later, they were all starting to get concerned.
Where the heck is she? Zonk said.
Thumb removed the dandelion stem she was chewing.
I don't know.
Where'd you get that flower?
Flim asked, continuing the complicated hand-clapping pattern she was doing with her twin.
Found it here by the twee this morning, Thumb replied.
Does it taste better than your thumb?
Flam said.
Uh-huh,
Thumb replied, nodding solemnly.
What about Belle? Has anyone seen her?
Stinky peered around hopefully.
Give it a break, Stinky, Pudge elbowed the younger girl.
Hey, why don't you call me Sarah? Stinky objected. I've only farted once since we got here.
It's probably our new diet, Midge said.
Or from starvation, Pudge moaned. Stinky's your name. I don't care if you fart or not.
They all sat in silence, listening to the quiet, hoping it would be broken. By the time lunchtime rolled around, they were really worried. they'd walked the whole area in widening circles, all the way past the mouth of Kids Creek to the small bay where the longboat was stowed, and all the way to the mouth of Mysterious River the other way, where they were now.
"Mysterious River's where Belle lives," Thumb said from her piggyback seat on Zonk.
Everyone stared at her.
"How do you know that?"
Zonk asked. "You never knew with Thumb. She was quiet for ages, and you forgot she was there. Then she said something, and you'd realize she had big ears for a little pitcher. Plus, she never forgot anything she heard."
Thumb shrugged. "She said so."
No one else had heard it, but if Thumb said she'd heard it, she had. They looked at each other, all thinking the same thing.
"Let's find Belle's place," Midge said. "If she's not at home either, we've got real trouble."
Midge looked around the circle. Pudge looked like she was going to object, but then shrugged. Zonk nodded her vote, and they set off. They stumbled along to the north, as Thumb suggested, for what must have been at least an hour, through brown and gray landscape.
"It's like a black and white movie here," Flam said.
"See," Flim agreed. "Too bad we cannot save it."
"It would be way too much work," Midge said. "We'd have to spend years planting seeds and waiting for them to grow, never mind figuring out how to water them."
"Belle can save Pan. Belle and Pan can save the Neverland," Stinky insisted.
That was before she found out Pan couldn't fly," Pudge said.
"Or laugh," Flam added. "Or crow," Flim said.
"Besides, I think Belle is totally wrong about Pipsqueak," Pudge says. "Does she really seem like Piper Pan to you?"
"If Belle says she is, then she is,"
Stinky's lower lip jutted out.
"I would never waste my time waiting around for the impossible," Pudge jeered.
"One thing's for sure," Midge said loudly, nipping the argument in the bud. "This place would need a miracle to make it green again."
Stinky gasped.
"Look!"
Zonk looked where Stinky pointed. A burnished stump, complete with windows, doorways, turrets, and balconies, stood on the far bank of the river. It rested on a patch of green moss. Patches of crocus and jonquils encircled it, dotted with grape hyacinth and clumps of lily of the valley. Trailing vinca clung to the river bank, blooming wildly. Its purple blooms buzzed with bees.
"Wow," Zonk said. "First flowers I've seen here."
She shifted Thumb, riding piggyback.
"Except for my dandelion this morning," Thumb said.
"Yeah," Pudge sighed. "It's like magic. Let's go look."
They waded across the still narrow, shallow river and climbed the opposite bank. Taking care not to crush any flowers, they took turns peeking into what was clearly a fairy castle.
"It's beautiful," Stinky breathed.
Zonk pointed. "No staircases."
"That makes sense. Who needs stairs when you can fly?" Pudge said.
"Well, Belle isn't home." Midge folded her arms and frowned. "That's clear."
No one could argue. The fairy was nowhere to be seen.
"Now what?" Thumb asked.
Flim and Flam looked at each other.
"Let's go back to camp," they said in unison. "Vamonos!"
They found camp as empty as they'd left it. Clustering around the campfire remains with the others, as if to draw somehow comfort from it, Zonk looked at the other girls' faces. Bravado was long gone. Expressions of worry and helplessness had taken hold. Stinky started to cry. Thumb followed suit.
"Aw, cut it out, guys," Pudge said. "You're making me feel bad here. We're supposed to be Pan's merry band, right? You don't look merry at all with tears running down your cheeks."
Zonk raised an eyebrow. Pudge never would have said that if Piper were here. It was supposed to be funny, but it only made Stinky cry harder.
"They've left us here all alone," the blonde girl wailed.
Zonk patted the frightened girl gently on the back.
Nah, they wouldn't.
Her earlier thought returned to her.
What if it's a test?
They met her eyes uncertainly. Like a trial. To be the merry band, we have to pass. Thumb had her old friend planted firmly in her mouth, but she stopped crying.
What do you mean?
Stinky snuffled.
Buena idea, Flim said.
Good idea, Flam chimed in. They both looked at Zonk.
So, what do we do to have to pass? Flam asked.
It might or might not be a test. Midge's voice came from the base of the Nevertree. She stood peering into the branches overhead. But I do think Pan, needs our help.
She pointed up.
Come here, guys.
They clumped around Midge.
See there? That's where the hammock was.
How do you know?
Stinky asked, drying her eyes.
Look carefully. See the clumps of torn spiderweb?
Midge pointed.
Eyes followed.
It's sloppily torn. There are a few long pieces still hanging.
Nods of agreement met her words.
I think if Pan was playing a practical joke, she'd have done a neater job.
You mean if she wanted us to believe her hammock had disappeared into thin air, she wouldn't have left a trace? Pudge laughed. You're really something, Midge.
Carambas! Flam exclaimed.
Oh my gosh, you're right!
Flim echoed her twin sentiments. Midge looked stern. She eyed Pudge, checking for an insult. Zonk squinted, examining Midge's evidence. She slowly nodded her agreement.
So, what do you think really happened? Pudge asked the question hanging in everyone's minds.
Midge eyed them all in silence, her expression sober.
I think she was captured. Captured? What's that mean?
Thumb asked.
It means taken prisoner, Pudge said. By who?
By whom?
Midge corrected.
Ah, shut up.
Pudge elbowed Midge in the ribs.
Who do you think did it?
The pirates, Zonk said.
Pirates?
Flim and Flam looked at each other and started a mock sword fight between them.
Arg! Take that, matey!
Cut it out!
Pudge stilled them with a look. Her eyes sought the mountains to the south.
That's the direction Piper said. The pirate ship is anchored, right?
Mm-hmm, Zonk said. Who's the pirate captain?
Captain Little Jack,
Midge growled, her voice a perfect imitation of Pan's when she'd imitated the villain for them all. They laughed. Smiles wreathed faces. Zonk's spirits rose.
So, what do we do? Pudge asked. Don't tell me we're going to try to save her. Those are real pirates. We're just a bunch of loser girls.
Says you, Zonk growled.
Maybe we should ask Belle to take us back to Seattle, Stinky said.
The objections to that idea made Zonk happy. She kept a straight face, though, and said,
Let's just take a nap and pretend this hasn't happened.
She couldn't keep from smiling when everyone glared at her.
Just kidding, she reassured them.
She needs us, Thumb said simply. We can fight, Flam said. Sí, por supuesto,
Flim agreed.
Sure we can, agreed Flam.
If we're going to help, we'll have to work together, Zonk cautioned. It seemed like long odds. And we'll need a plan. As one, they all turned to Midge. Zonk figured now would be a good time for the know-it-all to strut her stuff. She always talked like she knew best, but truly taking the lead would be new for her. Besides, Zonk thought, if she fell on her face, there was always Pudge. Pudge would lead them all right, there just wouldn't be a plan.
Well, Midge said, I've been thinking about that. There are four things in our favor. One, the pirates must not know we're here, or they'd have taken us, too.
Thumb gasped. It's okay, Zonk reassured her.
Two, we know a lot about the pirates and about Peter Pan and the things he did to get the best of them. Remember watching the movie over and over at Fitch's?
The girls nodded. We can take a tip from the movie. That's number 3. Pirates are terribly superstitious.
What's that mean?
Thumb mumbled around her thumb.
You really shouldn't suck your thumb, you know, Midge said. You'll get buck teeth.
Leave off, Zonk snapped.
Lowering her mouth to Midge's ear, she spoke more gently. Not now. Midge nodded at Zonk and swallowed.
Superstitious means they believe in ghosts, she explained.
So we're gonna be ghosts?
Flim and Flam wiggled their fingers at each other.
Woo! They wailed. If you two don't cut it out, I'm gonna separate you, Pudge threatened.
Midge cleared her throat.
Do you or do you not want to hear my plan?
She waited until quiet reigned.
Most important of all is number 4. We fight like girls.
She leaned forward and began to outline her plan.